Good morning, everyone. My name is Armando Matiz, and I come from University of Michigan, School of Public Health, Department of Health Behavior and Health Education. My role with this project is basically the facilitation training and the coaching process. We are so excited to be here today with all of you, just to share our experience, how we are contributing with the community, to build healthy communities.
Hi, my name is Christina Bernal. I am the health educator with the Healthy Environments Partnership Walk Your Heart to Health program, which is what we're going to be talking about today. And I was responsible and am responsible for training the community health promoters, or CHPs, basically in all the other components besides the facilitation training.
Good morning, my name is Christy Washington, and I am the community health promoter for the East Side of Detroit Walking Programs. Today, you will hear us use the term community health promoter, or CHP, or facilitator. All of them are community health promoters. Today, we'll be co-presenting our project that has been developed by a diverse group of professionals, technicians, and researchers. We will be discussing some issues related to our group facilitation, coaching of our walking groups.
So none of us, the three of us, have any relationships to disclose. So today for this presentation, what we're going to be talking about is the CHP training in facilitation techniques and the basic facilitation technique components that were included in that training. We'll also present how we support the community health promoters in developing their facilitation skills using a coaching process. So a little bit of background on the project. The Walk Your Heart to Health program is a walking group program that is one part of a multi-level community-based participatory research project. And it's designed to increase active living, improve heart health, and promote leadership in the community and sustainability. And it's, you know, dealing with the Detroit residents, so it's with Detroit residents. The walking groups are led and facilitated by community health promoters and are hosted by both community and faith-based organizations. They offer their facilities as sites for the walking group sessions. As a CBPR project, we work in collaboration with representatives from all areas of Detroit in which the project is active. And we have a steering committee with members that are key players in all areas of the research and the actions that we take related to our work. But today, what we're going to really focus on is how we promote community leadership and sustainability. So here are some of our community health promoters, and these individuals have taken part in our community health promoter training, including this facilitation training, and have led walking groups in Northwest, Southwest, and East Side of Detroit. One of the goals of the facilitation training is to provide the CHPs with skills needed not only to lead the groups, but also to facilitate their walking group members to take leadership and responsibility for those groups, so that by the end of the 8-month walking group program, the group members are actually running the group with the support of the community health promoter.
So speaking of the three different areas, if you look on the projector screen, on the left side, we have the northwest area, toward the right, the east side, and at the lower level, the southwest side. In all of those three areas, we're focusing on promoting walking groups. So when we started 3 years back, we started with roughly 100 participants in each of the three groups with one hosting site in each area. Fast forward 3 years. To the present, we are proud to say that we have 900 participants in all of the three walking participant sites with a host of walking hosting sites, whether it be community-based recreation centers or church-based recreation centers. So to give you an example of our walking group structure, we have our walking groups 3 days a week, and we are there for approximately an hour and a half. During that time, we may do various things stated on the board, whether it be downloading, discussions, activities, and icebreakers to build cohesion within the groups, warm up and cool down. During those times, after maybe the fifth or sixth week, we allow the participants to take part in the group and basically transition to where they're basically running the group on their own, and we're there to assist them or support them in any way possible, whether it be taking on the role of the icebreaker in activities, the warm-up, the cool-down, or setting the routes. Okay, so under the umbrella of the Community Health Promoters Training, we tackle various topics such as cardiovascular disease, computer skills, diabetes, certification exams, but today we're going to definitely concentrate all of our attention on facilitation training. We have a manual that we brought today that we go over through our facilitation training. At the end of the presentation, you are more than welcome to browse through the facilitation manual.
Well, like we mentioned before, one of the main issues in our project is the facilitation. So, what I've been looking for this training is specifically to know all the theoretical frame about facilitation, the more technical possible, and also, of course, we need to combine the knowledge with the practice. So that means that we have a training in classroom, but also outdoor training permanently. The thing is that we know that the facilitation skill not just provide a good possibility for the leaders to lead the groups, but also create the possibility that they can improve their lives. Talking about the facilitation techniques, this is a lot of, a kind of big topic, and we are more focusing on how to create a nice and wonderful atmosphere. Let's say technically rapport, but we really want to focus on how we can support people that feel perfectly comfortable whatever they are doing. And so for that, we use a different kind of categories. Allow me to tell you a little bit about these things. For example, just in your left side up in communication, where when do this training, we make emphasis about how our leaders can use the different channels and the human beings permanently using in order to be more concrete and more efficient with the communication. We train our leaders to avoid this kind of situation where they command or just make other, we still say instructions, rules, norms. We use the word agreements, and also we are facilitating people and leaders to know, to understand what is the benefits to do, to create a group consensus. The group synergy, this is a big aspect. I really love that, because the synergy is related with two basic components. One of that is the internal synergy. I'm talking about the thought, the feeling, and the action to the human being per se. But also, the group synergy is related with all the people who are participating in this group are able to bring something new for the group. Reframe is the ability for our leaders to recognize in the participants the level of the achievements, their participation, their concept, their ideas, etc. Tracking is also a skill related with ask the right questions. We say the right question because we don't want to say people what they need to do. We prefer to ask them what they need for them. And pairing is a really, really a kind of kinesthetic, a linguistic technique where we just communicate our members of the group that we are in the same pace than them. We are in the same, looking for the same direction, looking for healthy communities. So one thing is the facilitation thing, the facilitation training, but also we just follow or with the coaching process. The coaching process is a kind of complementary stage of the facilitation, and that's basically include that we go with the members of the group, with the leaders, we involve with them, working with them, and after each session we just set up a meeting privately and we ask questions to our facilitators. How do you feel with your performance? How we can improve that? What do you think that people could be better, and all this kind of thing, and create a kind of discussion. This discussion allow us to open a space for a feedback when we just suggest permanently how things can be better. To support all the coaching process, we sometimes suggest our facilitator specific greetings, for example, like team building or resolution of conflicts and things. And of course, we are always encouraging the practice, and one thing is the theoretical things, but one of our clear perspectives is that leadership, I'm so happy to hear today about the leadership, because leadership, you can compare it with the ball fighting, and if you ask how people ask to do that in the middle of the arena, well, I'm not sure that they learning from the book. I mean, maybe some of that, but another thing, they learning just in the field.
Okay, so speaking of the coaching and facilitation training, just to give you a brief example on how it has helped and afforded different opportunities individually for the CHPs and as a group as a whole in each of the areas of focus. So on the Northwest side, our CHP has really gained a lot of knowledge on how to deal with individuals collectively, as well as deal with personal issues. It helped build cohesion within the group and learn how to deal with different disputes or conflicts that the group may have. She called it the how-to guide of how to become a professional community health promoter and once again deal with individuals on all kinds of levels. In our Southwest side, our CHP was awarded the opportunity to take the role of the translator and a support person for an immigration program called Walk Without Fear. And on our side of town, which is the east side, one of my walking groups have achieved so many personal goals and goals as a group that we have been featured recently from the University of Michigan's School of Public Health magazine. And so that will be coming out in April of 2012.
Well, part of the conclusion here is that definitely to create a good leaders in our community requires more than a training. We need to think and focus more in a sequence of events instead of one event, one training. And that means that it's the only way that we can think about sustainability. And also, build leadership skills is something that is not just useful for the work in a public health. I mean, strongly believe that it's something that we need to keep in mind, because it's also something that helps us like an individual in all the outcomes in our life. Another conclusion is any program that we can run in a public health require knowledge. We know that, it's nothing new. But one of the bigger things here is also that the knowledge in combination with the right support, I would say combined with the right motivation, could focusing in a really change. I really love the slogan for this conference when they say build communities and healthy in bodies and minds. I would say that this is our focus. We prefer to say that we really want to build a beautiful souls, beautiful smiles, beautiful attitudes, and that is possible that someday we are going to have a healthy communities.
So really quick before we leave you guys, we just want to thank our steering committee members and the staff that have been on this project for all their ideas and effort and just the ongoing support that they provide our CHPs as they develop their facilitation skills. Just also acknowledging our funding source is the National Institute of Minority Health and Health Disparities. and well, I think it's the National Center now, but anyway, the Department of Health, Behavior, and Health Education at the School of Public Health at the University of Michigan. And a special thanks goes out to our steering committee member here, Danielle North. Thanks for being here. Thank you, everyone.